Praise the Lord again. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. God is so good. I feel so undeserving of His blood, but I thank God for His blood because it does wash as white as snow. How many of you ever gone out to eat with someone and you sit down and you order and your food comes, you eat your food, the waitress brings the bill, you open up your wallet and you look in your wallet and there's nothing there? Have any of you ever been in that spot? Brother Glenn was in that spot just yesterday morning. Showed up for the men's breakfast, not to embarrass him, but he showed up for the men's breakfast. And he opens up his wallet, and there was nothing there. And I stepped in. I figured you better practice what you preach. So I stepped in, and I said, "I got you covered, Brother Glenn." And I paid for his breakfast. Now, I do understand, and I hope he understands, that somewhere down life's road, he'll pay me back with a breakfast. So that's a big hint right now there, Brother Glenn. So I'm reaping good seeds, hoping I can sow good seeds. Maybe it's Sir Hobo's or something down the road. I drove through a drive-thru a few months ago, and I ordered a breakfast biscuit and a small soda. I'm trying to cut back from large to medium to small, and I ordered a small Coca-Cola from McDonald's. I don't know what it is about McDonald's Coca-Cola, but it just does something to my taste buds, and I just love it. I can't get away from it. I can't help it. I know Sister Fonda Mackey has the same problem, and I think Brother Pat O'Malley has the same issue over there. There's just something about McDonald's Coca-Cola at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever time you go through. Some of you, all you coffee drinkers, don't be laughing. I went and got someone a coffee the other day, and they wanted 5 creams. And I'm like, why don't you just get a glass of milk and dump a little coffee into it, you know? But I get up there to pay for it, and I open up my wallet, and you know how it is. There's always cars behind you, and I didn't have nothing. My wallet was empty. And I'm like, oh, no, what am I going to do? I just can't drive out of here. So I start digging in my change, and I dug through and robbed a whole bunch of change out of my change. I always have a little change bucket in my car, and I was able to take and cover my bill there at McDonald's. But so many times we've heard the phrase, and maybe we've used it on occasion, and we says, "I've got you covered. I've got you covered." What exactly does that mean? You step up to a counter to pay for your soda and maybe a candy bar, and you reach in your pocket, and you pull out some money, and then you realize you don't have enough. Maybe you used it somewhere else, and your face goes white as you try to explain to the cashier at Quick Trip. And then someone steps up behind you and says, "I've got you covered. Don't worry about this. It's on me. I've got this." Another scenario is somebody says, "Hey, let's go out to eat. Let's go get something to eat." Maybe that's happened to you on a Sunday night after church. Someone comes up and says, "Man, Brother Bryce, let's go out to eat." And Bryce is like, "Well, you know, I'd really love to go out to eat. Well, we're going to go to Texas Roadhouse." And he's already thinking, "Oh, man, sirloin steak. Yes, mushrooms, yes." Here I am talking about food again. It's because I don't eat before I preach. You can tell where my flesh is going with all of this. So here you are. You're thinking Texas Roadhouse. You're thinking their onion blossom. And, oh, that is so. How many of you have had Texas Roadhouse onion blossom? I think when we get to heaven, there's going to just be this huge, like a whole acre spread of nothing but onion blossoms. And we're just going to be able to go over there and we're just going to gorge ourselves on onion blossoms. Who would have ever thought? Yes. And he says, "No, I don't think I could go today." "Oh, you fasting today? I'm sorry." No, I'm not fasting. My checkbook's a little embarrassed today." And you say, "Hey, don't worry about it, Bryce. I got you covered." All of a sudden, you go from not being hungry, you go from that, you just those thoughts in your mind to like, yes,
now I'm going to actually get to partake of something because Uncle Roy's got me covered. Yes, I've got you covered. The same someone that invited you that says, don't worry, I've got you covered. You change your mind and Texas Roadhouse seems like a pretty good idea after all. It means in this sense that someone else has paid the debt that was yours. Someone else took your place. They took that debt that you owed and they took it upon themselves, thus meaning I've got you covered. We have all been there at one time or another in our lives, and that was the story of your life, and that was the story of my life. We deserved everything that should have come our way. We read in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and have come or fell short of the glory of God. In other words, you have sinned, I have sinned, but God stepped up to the counter and says, don't worry about it, Pastor Roy, don't worry about it, Phil Demas, don't worry about it, Jeffrey Lomax, I've got you covered. We were sinners, we were without hope, we were without the strength to help ourselves, but God stepped into the scene and says, I've got you covered. I'll take care of that debt that you're unable to take care of. I'll not only take care of the balance of the account, but I'll take care of the whole debt. I'm not just going to cover your meal at Texas Roadhouse, Bryce, but you bring me every bill that you owe, and I will pay and cover every debt that you owe. That is what God has done to us as born-again believers. We've covered. Romans 4:6-8 tells us, even as David also described the blessedness of man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So in other words, you and I didn't do anything to deserve the righteousness that God extended to us. We in our sin, we don't deserve the righteousness nor his salvation, but God imputed it into us anyway. When we look at that word imputed, the word imputed means to lay the responsibility or blame for often unjustly or falsely to charge, to credit to a person or a cause. The word impute means to pass to one's account, to count over. It means that Jesus placed his righteousness upon our record, our sin. He took his righteousness upon our account, our lives when we trust upon him in salvation. It was his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his salvation. We didn't do anything. There's nothing that you and I can do to deserve or merit it. But in verse 7, he says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. In essence, God is saying to us, listen, church, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. We are so very blessed to have received forgiveness from God. I'm so very thankful for the forgiveness of my sins when we really deserved the full judgments of God upon our lives. In reality, we should all have to pay the debt for our own sin. But God said one day, he said, Brother Larry, he said, Sister Jane, Sister Moran, you don't deserve what I'm going to give to you, but I have got you covered. I'm so thankful this morning that God has got me covered. Verse 8 tells us, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, we really deserve what we had coming our way. We really deserve to pay the price for our own sin. We deserve to pay our own debt. But the scripture says we are blessed when the Lord forgives and covers our sins instead of charging that sin to our account. I'm so thankful that God has got me covered this morning. He should have said, Roy, you have made too many mistakes. You have messed up too many times. I am no longer going to cover for your mistake. I'm no longer going to cover for your sins. But when we read in Romans 5, verses 6 through 9, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And who is the ungodly? That is everyone that sits in this place this morning. That's every one of the 7.5 billion people that are living on this earth right now. It is everyone from Adam until the last person that was just born just a microsecond ago on this planet. God, Jesus Christ, died for the ungodly. He died for you and for me. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die yet. Preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us. In that, listen, while we here, maybe yet this morning, while your next door neighbor, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. More than now, being justified by his blood, covered by his blood. We are covered by his blood. Everybody say, covered by his blood. God's got you covered this morning. We shall be saved from wrath through him. While we were yet sinners, we had a price to pay for our sins. We had a debt to pay. But I thank God. God says, I've got you covered. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, and you also he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says there was a time when you were dead in your sins, and you walked according to the ways of the world. You followed after the ways of the world. Among those also, we had our conversation at times past in the lust of our flesh. We talk about all of the lust of our flesh, and we fulfill the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you today? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love, his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, even when we were dead in sin, when you and I were dead and we didn't deserve, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I am so thankful. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God. God's got you covered this morning. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what kind of problem you walked in here with. My God has got you covered. Now we need to understand one thing. Just last Tuesday, our bishop pulled into the parking lot. I don't know how he's supposed to be on 2 weeks of bed rest and pull into the parking lot unless he considers the front seat of his Tahoe a bed. I asked, how come you're not in bed? He said, oh, I just can't stand staying in bed. And he pulls in, and I looked and I said, Dad, you got a flat tire. He says, I do? I said, yes. My mind's thinking, if you would have been in bed, you wouldn't have a flat tire. He's not here today, so I can say this. Let's not fool ourselves and think that just because we've been saved and we've been sanctified and we've been filled with the Holy Ghost that we're exempt from having troubles and trials. We got to understand that Bishop went to park his Tahoe, and I looked over. You got a flat tire. He says, oh, my sensor went off. I said, well, what did it tell you? It says it was the front right tire. So I got out and I looked at the front right tire, and it looked fine. So I kept driving. I said, well, it's the rear left tire. Now, as I said, you would think that all he's gone through, all of the infection that he's had in his body, sick for days, 2 weeks of supposed to be bed rest. Sometimes we look at our bishop like it's Paul, like it's the bishop, it's Paul, it's Moses, and then it's Gabriel and Michael. And I'm just teasing him a little bit there. But here he is, our bishop. He's got a flat tire. How dare the tire go flat? It's the bishop's tire. You don't go flat. I don't know about you, but I learned how to change a tire on a Tahoe last Tuesday. If you have a Tahoe here today, your tire jack and all of the assembly is underneath the beverage holder on the rear left corner of your storage compartment in the rear. You have a little beverage holder there, and you remove the beverage holder, and your spare tire equipment is down below that. I looked everywhere in that Tahoe, under the hood, under the car, everywhere I could find a place to hide a tire iron. It was not there. They conceal it very, very well. So for all of you that have a Chevy, probably the same in a Suburban, just think beverage. You're going to need some beverage if you're going to change the tire because it's going to wear you out. Listen, if you have a flat tire next time, just limp it to church and I will call AAA and we will have you taken care of. I've got you covered. Listen, I don't think that it exempts us, life exempts us from flat tires, car problems, leaky roofs. Maybe you've gotten poor grades in school this last semester, some of you campus students. I don't believe that any other difficult dilemmas or messed up moments in our lives, that just because we're doing our best to live a godly life does not mean that the enemy will never send trouble your way. For Job declared in Job 14:1 that a man is born of woman and of a few days he is full of trouble. But we need to understand that when trouble comes, we are fighting against forces today in this city that are powerful forces. This city is full of evil, but we're sin doth abound. Understand, church, where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth more abound. When we look into the Old Testament and we look into 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and 17, we find the old prophet Elisha and his servant as they woke up one morning and they found themselves completely surrounded by the army of the Syrians, the soldiers, the chariots, and the horses. And the servant was terrified and he says, Elisha, what shall we do? And Elisha says, don't be afraid. The first thing when the enemy comes against you, you got to square your shoulders and you got to say, I am not afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the Lord and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open up his eyes that he may see. And when the Lord opened up the eyes of the servant, he looked, and upon the hills he saw chariots of horses of fire all around them. And he said, Elisha, there is more that is for us than is against us. And when you go against the enemy in your life and he tries to tear you down, he tries to tear you apart, you need to turn to the Lord and you need to say, Lord, open up my eyes that I may see. And when your eyes are open and you glance out and you look and you see the chariots of the Lord, you see the angels of the Lord, there are more that are for us than are against us. I know it isn't good when Satan decides to wreak havoc in your life. It isn't good to know that when the enemy comes in, but you must understand when the enemy comes, and he will come. We live in a day where the enemy is trying his best to destroy anyone and everyone that he can. But I believe that when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall rise up a standard against him. It says when the enemy comes in, and then it's comma, like a flood, comma. I covered this just a few weeks ago, but I felt a need to cover it again. When the enemy comes into your life, you must understand it's like a flood. Not when he comes in like a flood, but when he comes in like a flood, God will rise up a standard against him. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. These are the words that he spoke as Moses gave Israel the last charge, the last command before they crossed over the Jordan River. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong, Israel, and of good courage, and do not fear, nor be afraid of them. A new generation had rose up. The last generation was afraid to cross the river, but 40 years later, they're back at the same point. For your Lord, your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. In other words, Jehovah God was saying to Israel, listen, Israel, I am your Lord. I am your God. I've got your back. I've got you covered. We read in James 1, 2, and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you have a flat tire. Count it all joy when your roof starts to leak. Count it all joy when you start having problems with your car. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. And we move on to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, understand what that verse just said. It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I can feel something in a place this morning. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, but when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So many times we think temptation is a sin. Temptation is not a sin. That's when it said, blessed is the man that endures. Blessed is the man that was tempted, but he overcame the temptation. Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. We can be tempted by Satan, but God says, listen, saint, listen, brother, listen, sister, you may be tempted, but I've got you covered. God's got us covered this morning. God's got us covered. The Lord tells us in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, do not think it is not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Trials are not strange. We need to understand that. Trials are not strange in our lives. Troubles and trials, they are part of life. Get used to it. We can use that word, that phrase, it rains on the just and on the unjust. The just have flat tires and the unjust have flat tires. It rains on, you know what? It's supposed to snow this afternoon and tonight. Boo. Boo hoo hoo. I didn't take my snowplow off my truck because I just thought that perhaps, maybe. Those of you that took your plows off your truck already, I don't want to say, oh, ye of little faith, but I just thought, just in case. You know what? It's going to snow at 1465 West Medina Road. It's not just going to like a square out from where my house is and it snow everywhere around, but not. It snows on the just and on the unjust. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers or ye are participants of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed. This is powerful. When his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with just a little bit of joy, with exceeding joy. Thank God it snowed at my house today. How many of you, seriously, you probably think, what in the world? This is crazy. This is nuts. Seriously? You expect us, Lord, when we go through sufferings and we go through problems and trials, that I'm supposed to be glad with exceeding joy? Yes, we are! If you suffer for the name of Christ, blessed are you. In other words, the Lord was saying, listen, I've got you covered. I got you covered. Sometimes life, it just has a tendency to just spin out of control. And everything around us seems to be shifting right under our feet. And I love when God spoke to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. The Israelites had come against, the number of countries had come against them, and it was a bad scene, and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. And I'm just going to read one little short section out of this. But it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. God spoke to Jehoshaphat, and he says, bring all the nation together, everybody. Everybody came together, and the first thing that you find in this was unity, because they all came together. And then the second thing they did was they prayed, and they fasted. You see, God honors unity, and then when you pray and you fast in unity, that's power. That's a force that no army on earth can reckon with. And God says they're in unity, they're praying, and they're fasting. I want to show you just exactly how powerful unity, prayer, and fasting can be. Joshua or Jehoshaphat, you just set this one out. Get your worship team together. We're going to sing our way through this one. We're going to worship through this one. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. God was saying, Israel, Jehoshaphat, I've got you covered. This one is on me. Just sit back, don't worry, don't fret. Your friends may bail on you, your family may disown you, the people that are closest to you may walk away from you. But we read in Hebrews 13:5 that God tells us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. All around us, the spring snow is melting away. And if you know anything about snow in the spring, the ground's frozen and it all flows on top of the ground because it doesn't absorb in. And you start to get all of these little flash flood warnings go up all over. And I remember a few years ago, I believe Carl and Cecily, they lived over on, I think it was called Pirates Island. Is that right, Noah? I know they subletted from you guys. Pirates Island. And it's just this island over in Lake Monona, kind of Monona Bay area. And you had the spring thaws and the rains came and the lake was flooded and the water was rising. And they started putting sandbags everywhere along the shoreline. I don't know if you remember that. You might have saw it on the news a little bit. And it just seemed like no matter how many sandbags they set up, the water got through. You set up one layer of 3 foot, then you set another layer, and you set another layer, and we went by there in the boat going real slow, and the pumps were pumping constantly out of people's basements and their backyards. There were just pumps everywhere, and they're pumping the water out of their yard, out of their basement, back into the lake, only to have it seep back through, go back into their backyard, back into their basement, and pump it back out again. So they're just recirculating the same water, and they just hope they can pump it out faster than it comes in. How many of you ever had life treat you that way, that your pump is pumping as fast as it can pump, and the troubles and the trials and the problems just keep coming right on in, and the more you pump, the faster it comes in, and you think, am I ever going to take and stay ahead of this flood? It's almost impossible. Just as life at times, staying above the troubles and the trials and the temptations, but the Bible says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. when the enemy shall come in like a flood, when the problem shall come in like a flood, when everything around you begins to cave in like a flood, and your sandbags and your pump won't hold it back. But it says the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And such is the case in the enemy of our lives today. I've come to the startling and stunning realization that no matter how many sandbags that we put up, and no matter how big of a dam that you have, the enemy, just like flood waters, has a way of getting over. It has a way of getting through, or a way of getting around it. The enemy has a way of infiltrating and penetrating right through the very fabric of our lives and begins to wreak havoc. But the text here says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. Listen, so often we say that we're wrapped up, sidetracked in what the enemy is doing to us, but know that God has got our back. He has sanctioned, he has approved, he has authorized, he has allowed the Spirit to come to our rescue and lift up a standard. He has authorized the means of support on our behalf. He has said, I am the Comforter, I am the Holy Ghost, I am here, I will take and raise up a standard. In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. It helps in our weaknesses. We have a number of people here this morning that are weak in their infirmities in their bodies. We prayed for Brother Vern Washburn before service, who is struggling with some serious illnesses. We have a number of members in the hospital that are sick this morning. Our bishop is sick, but likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities, in our weakness, as the Spirit lifts up his standard. It is in reality. It is in actuality. It is lifting up the very essence and the very authority of our God. And because we are partakers of his Spirit, we have a right to walk in his excellence and his authority. And we've been talking about living in the supernatural. We have his Spirit inside of us. We have his power right to the use, and we have the right to use his authority. And because we have that right, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to you. You can rest assured that God's got you covered. The Holy Ghost. It's more than just speaking in tongues. It's more than just coming up here and it being a one-time experience. It is something that God desires us to use every day. It's something he desires us to use every hour, if need be, by the minute, by minute. The Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It's our advocate. It's our advocate. It's our attorney. It's our defense. It's our counselor. So every time the enemy tries to come against us, know that because the Spirit's intervention, God's Spirit steps in and says, no, not today, Satan. Not today. Because greater is he that is within me. That Holy Ghost, that within me. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. So God's Spirit, that Holy Ghost, steps in and says, not today, Satan. You're not going to be able to touch me. When the enemy chooses to come at us with the fiery darts of doubt and the fiery darts of fear and disbelief and disappointment, our Father, understand, your Heavenly Father, he rises up a standard against that. And I have learned that if I am standing on God's word and I am living in his will, it's God's will, not my will, it's his will, I don't have to worry about one single thing, because God has got me covered. I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that I am covered. I love that song, I'm covered, I'm covered. I'm covered by his blood, walking by faith, filled with his love. I am covered, covered, covered by his blood, because Jesus has rescued me. Satan has no control of my life. I love that song. We sing that at an altar call tonight, this afternoon. covered by his blood. I'm glad that he took my place. I'm glad that he hung, bled, and he died for a filthy, old, wretched sinner like me. He died for my sins, and he paid a ransom for me. And I believe that Jesus Christ is soon to return for his church. Listen, now is no time to mess around. It is time to dig in and stay dug in. I don't care what you have to fight. I don't care what you have to go against. There is nothing on this earth that is worse than eternity in hell. There is no fight on this earth that is worth losing to spend eternity in hell. Rather, no matter what it is in your life, now is the time. Because time is running very short. He's coming back for those who have turned from or have repented of their transgressions and their sins. When we speak of that this morning, I've got you covered. That phrase, I've got you covered, can mean a lot of different things. We have chosen to live. If God has you covered this morning, you have chosen to live and follow a path of righteousness. So you sit here today, perhaps surrounded by problems, and you're wondering, how did I get myself into this mess? What did I do? How in the world? Do you ever wonder that sometimes? We always say, God, how did I get myself into this mess? See, that's the problem. The first thing we say is, God, we're calling out to him, how did I get myself into this mess? Because you didn't put me first. It was like all of this mess, and then at the end it's like, oh, dear God. We need to put him first. To get out of the mess that you're in this morning and to stay out of the mess, you first have to understand how you got into it. This doesn't seem to really fit here, but follow this through. Reading Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, and I'm going to speed through this. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. What I just read to you is the very first law that God placed into existence. How many of you know what that law is? We covered this last year. It's the law of sowing and reaping. This ties in quite a bit with God's got you covered. This is a part of it that we don't like to talk about. You see, what I read was the first law that was placed into existence, and it says that whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. But you just said that God will cover me. Yes, he will cover you. But let's continue on. We're going to read in Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. This is a story. It's a parable. We all know this as the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided upon them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Pause. You see, this is what happens a lot. We want to do things our way. Here you have a younger son in seemingly a very prosperous household. And we can flip this around and we can put this in a church setting. There's many different ways that you can preach this. But this morning, I'm going to approach it that the younger son, maybe he was a backslidden, walked away from God, didn't have any desires to follow after the teachings of the household. That's my story. I'll tell my story this morning. I don't know what yours is. But you see, came a time in my life when I said, you know what, Dad, this isn't for me. I want to do my own thing. And I basically, you cash in everything you have and you move on. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. Verse 17, this is a message within itself. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." I just want to pause here for a moment. You see, you simply cannot expect God to cover up sins that you are willfully committing. It won't work. It won't work. You cannot expect God to cover up sins that you are not repenting over, or you have not repented over, or perhaps you have no desire to repent over them. God can't cover that. He won't cover that. I don't care how hard you pray. I don't care how hungry you get. When you walk away from God, you can walk away from God on your terms. You can say, "God, I don't like how things are going in this church. I don't like how things are in my family. I don't like how things are in my life. I'm walking away from you, God. Leave me be." And you know what? He will do just that. But I promise you, you're going to find yourself someday in a pig pen, eating the very slop that you at one time despised, because you're desperate and you won't bring yourself to a point of repentance. God says, "I can't cover that." You see, don't expect God to come in and fix everything that you messed up because you wanted to do your own thing. I know firsthand in my life for 13 years, I just did my own thing. I messed up. I didn't care. I was anything but repentant. I dug in my heels. I blamed everyone else for the mess that I was in, and I looked for everyone's sympathy, but I didn't look for true repentance. You see, coming down to this altar and bawling your eyes out and seeking sympathy is not repentance. It doesn't work that way. You may fool some people, but you're not fooling the one that it makes a difference. You don't repent to me. You don't repent to Brother Hawk. Brother Steve Rogers covered this so well last Sunday evening. If you want to learn more about this, listen to his message last Sunday evening. You see, I would cry, or at least I would try to, and I played a game. I played a game, and I became an expert at playing that game. I knew how to come into church service, and I knew how to shake the conviction of God off of my life. You see, that's the problem with the prodigal son. That's the problem with prodigals, is they know how to play the game. But I want to tell you, and I want to give you one word of advice. I want to give you one very strong warning from God himself this morning. You may be playing games with God, but God is not playing games with you. You may be taking and you may be thinking that this is a game, and that when you come in here and you listen to the preaching of the word and you say, "I know just exactly how I'm going to escape here this morning," you're not escaping into anything but deeper and deeper into the pig pen of life, and sooner or later you will be turned over and God will say, "Enough is enough." No matter how much blood I shed, no matter how much I desire fire to cover your sins. I cannot cover you in the state that you are in because you are unrepentant. You can walk away from God all you want to. Anytime you want to. There's no one here today. If you want to walk away from God, you can walk out of these doors and never come back to this church again. But when you walk out of these doors, you walk out on your terms. But when you come back on His terms. So think, when you have that come to yourself moment in your life, and you cry out to God, are you coming back to Him on His terms? Verse 20 of this story, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice one thing a little bit unusual about this story. Brother Russell, I don't find anywhere in this story where the father went out looking for him. You notice that? Seems to be a little odd, doesn't it? You see, I understand now why the father didn't go out looking for the son. Because the father understood Genesis, the law of sowing and reaping. The father loved the son enough to say, I must allow him to reap what he has sown. So many times it's very difficult as a person that you love someone and you see them sowing seeds of destruction and you want to step in and you want to help them out, and God slaps your hand or he closes up your heart and he says, no, don't touch. Leave it alone. There have been some situations that have happened lately that has happened to me, Brother Thomas, where that God has says, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Stop messing with my business. The law of sowing and reaping. He allowed the law of sowing and reaping to run its course in his son's life. And the son said unto him, notice that, and he came to himself moment, was so powerful. Notice, he recognized his own sin. He didn't blame it on anyone else. He owned it. He didn't come in and say, I wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for this person, or this, or this, or this. He owned up to it. I'm here because I messed up. When I was backslidden, I tried to blame everybody else for my problems, but the problem was me. I can't blame my sin on anyone else. If I sin, I got to own it. It's the way it is. He owned it. And he was repentant. For I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What's the father doing right now? He said, my son has come home. He's repentant. Son, you were once dead and now you're alive again. He was lost. He is now found. Son, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. You see how that works? Notice one other thing about this story. The prodigal stayed home. He stayed home. He stayed home. I think that is a very powerful, powerful story. I'm so glad that God has got me covered. I'm so glad that God has us covered. We are covered in His blood. Paul said in Romans 5, 8 through 11, but God demonstrated by his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For musicians can come. Much more now, not having been justified by his blood, but shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So how do we become reconciled with Jesus Christ? If you would stand this morning. How does his blood cover us? How does it cover our sins? We read in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How shall we become reconciled with Jesus Christ? What do we have to do, Peter, to have his blood cover our sins? And Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. And he came to himself. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And who is this for, Peter? For this promise is unto you. And Peter, it's unto your children. And it's unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If he is my God and I am his child, then I know that he's got my back. Why? Because I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized in his name, and I have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how I know he's got me covered. I love this scripture in Psalms 94, 1 through 4. We're going to make this personal this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. How do you know you are covered? Because he's covered you with his blood. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible? No matter what the enemy throws against me, I am covered. This morning, if you've never been covered, if you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in his name and had those sins washed away as far as from the east is from the west, he will forgive and forget everything that you have done. He will step up to the counter, and when you open up your wallet, when you open up your heart and there's nothing in it but empty blackness, he will look in there and he will say, listen, child, I have got you covered. I love it. We're going to sing this song, Covered, Covered, Covered by His Blood. If you've never repented, you've never been baptized, I want you to come down here this morning. It's high time you got covered. It's high time you had your debts paid.
I am covered.
You need a healing? Right over here if you need a healing.
I'm walking.
If the enemy's just come against you and you've been fighting, you've been struggling.